Welcome to Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. You have never heard of me. I am Nicholas Quirk, and through the aid of my youthful diaries, I am slipping back in time with you and my friend, Penny Parker.
Nick, you and I, we've been like business people today, haven't we?
Well, I attended a very sophisticated do that you were hosting.
Exactly.
And they had vegan food.
The shame if I couldn't provide vegan food for you.
Yeah. I managed to cause one of your acolytes shame over the green tea.
I expect nothing less.
Oh, I was supposed to get some green tea. I didn't. I forgot. We have got...
Meanness abounds. Well, I thank you for coming to that, and I thank you for wherever it is that we're going today.
Well, I'm taking us somewhere less salubrious, but still in Brighton.
Good.
In June 1981. And it's a Sunday, and it's the 14th. And I got up very early, and I went to Mass.
Yeah. It's not some festival, is it?
No. Okay. Although, actually, it does say Madari. It was Trinity Sunday. The Holy Trinity. But I was still of a going to Mass persuasion.
Well, it would be a nice start to your day.
It was. There were three small kids who were making their first Holy Communion. It brought back memories of my own.
No.
Which is quite nice. I mean, I haven't noted my memories.
No.
But I do remember it. And I do remember the chief pleasures of it was because my cousin and I were of the same age and we were doing it all together. And we had a rehearsal, and we went to this rehearsal for our first Holy Communion. And the priest said, "Body of Christ!" When it was to come to it. Well, mine and my cousin Stephen's reaction, exactly. We were hysterical. And I do remember, I mean, I had this fear because it was a very important occasion for Catholic children. So it's a sacrament. It's the second one after your baptism, and it's on the path to true holiness. So it's very significant, and you're all very smartly dressed. You have little ties, and the girls were all in lovely white dresses. And I was terrified that I was just going to laugh the whole time because I could not withstand Body of Christ! Clearly didn't, because I have no recollection of laughing.
Good.
But I do remember the fear. It's a terrible, terrible thing, really, when you do that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is just those kind of nerves. On a couple of occasions, it's been completely inappropriate. My grandmother once was telling me a story about somebody. I'm going to start laughing again. But she was just telling us a story about somebody she'd met in a pub. She'd gone in to buy them a drink. She came out and they'd died. In the break. My sister and I, we were just hysterical. But I mean, I think my nan was rather shocked. But it's not what you expect to hear, is it?
No, it's a good punchline. Yeah.
It is. Splendid punchline. They died. I'm prone to that.
Yeah.
I can get the giggles very easily, as I think possibly our listeners have heard.
Yes. And then would you just get... the one rehearsal, this was it.
We'd been practicing for this for a long time. So all the sort of theological side of it and, you know, what we had to do and what it meant and why and all that we'd had lessons on and classes on. But this was just literally like, you know, isn't it like you have a rehearsal for a wedding, don't you?
Stand
go
here.
And you just look, that's what you do. You do this, you do this, you do that. Okay. And you will come around here and do this and then you will be... given the host.
Were your names spoken during this thing?
No. Our names aren't used.
Oh.
Catholics get to choose a confirmation name, and it has to be a saint's name. It's so interesting when I look back on what I chose, because I chose John. Sounds quite ordinary, doesn't it? Why would you do that? But why do you think I chose that?
I don't know.
Because John was the most loved disciple.
That's an obvious name.
There you go. That's why I chose that one. However, it wasn't me making my first Holy Communion. It was merely memories. Memories that had come back to me.
Yes.
But then I went home and Rory was still asleep. So till 1 a.m, Catherine and I played cards and ate. So Rory and Kath had come down for the weekend.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Showing them your hometown.
Yes. And I think I was quite proud of it, actually.
Don't you feel like that now, then? You're not proud of it now? Or at least enjoy it when people come down? Do you not like showing people around?
Yeah, I do, but I don't necessarily feel that their opinion matters.
Oh. Okay.
Take people out and show them things and make sure they have a nice time.
Yes, yes.
That'll do. But I don't particularly think if they didn't like it, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, that's bad. I like living here and I'm happy here and...
Well, good.
That's it. You know, end of, you know. And
all right. So you've been out the night before, or is he just someone who slept in?
Well, we had been out. It doesn't actually say where we've gone, but we had had quite a day of it because I know... We went on the big wheel, we walked into town, we went shopping along the way, we photoed each other in town, we looked around the shops, had lunch. We took lots of photos, actually, seems to be what we were doing.
Yeah.
But I can't work out, because I haven't noted it, whether Catherine went back early.
Mm.
And whether the Catherine I'm talking about is my sister Catherine.
Yeah.
Or Rory's Catherine.
Oh, confusing.
Whereas I tend to, in the diary, look, I've written Kath here.
Mm.
What have I written on the day they arrived?
That's a good one.
This will help. It will.
Let's see.
The day they arrived. Yeah, from Rory and Kath.
Okay.
So I suspect it was my sister.
Okay.
That I was playing cards with. So Kath, in the blank, may well have gone back to London. May have had to go back. We had been swimming as well.
We went to the
New Brighton Baths, which must have been the Prince Regent.
Showing them a good time.
But I haven't said what we did in the evening, so maybe we did get very drunk and I couldn't be bothered to record it.
Exactly.
I got Rory up and we had lunch. Again, we played cards.
Ooh, okay. Any idea what?
Well, if it was with Kate, we were probably playing casino. Quite an addict where casino comes. It was a game that was taught us by our beloved neighbour, Mrs. Smith. Or Marjorie. She was our neighbour and we used to go in, maybe after tea time. She always had a sweet jar and we'd always get very excited if the phone rang and she'd go and answer the phone because we would be hands in on those licorice all sorts, on those, you know, twisted cough candy.
Oh, I'm thinking of it right now.
It's your lip smacking.
It is.
I know, my mouth's watery. But she taught us how to play casino. Okay. We'd spend hours around at hers.
And was she a woman on her own?
She lived on her own. She had some friends, the Tophams. And of course, she told us all sorts of stories. She was probably in her 70s. She was she was quite a stylish old lady. Sturdy. I remember she was a bit sturdy.
Oh.
We absolutely adored Mrs. Smith.
She bought those sweets for you guys.
And I'm sure she must knew we'd have been...
Mm.
Pilching.
I bet she did. Them. Came back from the phone and nothing left.
I presume she'd been answering the phone to the Tophams to organise some...
A lovely dinner.
Some supper or something.
Of course, supper. People had supper, didn't they? Yeah.
Casino was very much the game that we played. The game we still play.
Oh.
We still invoke the spirit of Marjorie Smith.
Is it actually a game that existed under another name?
It is a game that I've tried to pass on to my sons. They weren't very...
amenable.
I think the thing was I kept winning. So I think there was a bit of bad blood or a bit bad sportsmanship in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, I could deliberately foul up my game.
But hey, why?
But point is to, you know, if you're learning a game, you need to learn what you can do, don't you?
Lose.
You know.
It's basically the lesson you taught them. You will be losing.
Yeah, you are a loser.
Totes loser. Okay.
Might well have played Rummy as well. That was another game.
Oh, I love Rummy. Yeah.
And if there were three, Casino probably wasn't possible. So we might have been playing Sevens.
Is Sevens a form of Rummy but a bit more complicated?
No.
Okay.
But I was very fond of Gin Rummy at the time. I like Gin Rummy. Well.
Do people play cards anymore? Well, your children obviously
are. Clearly we do.
Are you drawn towards, like, bridge at all?
Well, yes. My parents didn't play bridge. I think that was a bit more upmarket than we were.
Oh, I see.
But I know. Did your parents play bridge?
They played bridge.
No. I think I quite like the idea of it. And I did go to a whist. A friend had a whist drive once.
That's such
which
a funny
was
thing.
Such a fun thing. No, I've never felt the urge.
And
I think the nice thing about cards is you're there, you're doing, and you talk.
It's true.
So you're, it's actually a pastime where you are talking as well.
So you are playing cards.
Yes, we're playing cards. But then we left Mum alone.
Oh, torturing Mum.
She was probably glad for a bit of peace and quiet, to be honest.
Yep.
But we left Mum alone. Now, the funny thing is I think... So Rory and Catherine had come down. Let us note, how did I start the day? I started the day with a visit to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And I had coming down two friends who weren't married but were in a relationship and were sharing a bed. Ooh. So I had to tell my mother that they were married.
Oh.
So we had to pretend while they were down that they were married.
With a ring and everything.
Yeah, we got some sort of shitty ring off the pier or something. And pretended that that was...
Uh-huh. I wish it was some really huge thing with a diamond from a cracker, like from the claw machine.
Maybe it was. It wasn't good. No. I know it wasn't a good thing. I don't think it was plastic.
No.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't the plastic
Bendy
ring.
Plastic.
But it was certainly...
She accepted it. She did not question this.
I think I told them before we came down that Kathy and Rory were married.
Right.
What it did do, though, subsequently, I don't think it caused any problems at that time, that weekend.
Mm.
But subsequently, relatively soon after that, I was coming down to Brighton with Dee. And my mum was driving us. And I remember sitting in a cafe bar having some lunch or something. And Mum said something about Rory and Kathy being married. And she went, they're not married. And I kicked her really hard under the table. And she sort of I didn't understand. And I had to actually convince her that they had got married and she hadn't been invited to the wedding.
Layers on layers.
Layers upon layers. It was very, very convoluted. It was a very difficult thing. In retrospect, from where I'm standing now, I don't think my mother... I don't think she would have cared. Well, I know that when my brother's girlfriend had come down, she wouldn't let them share a room. She wouldn't let them share a room. That was a standard. And that presumably was because they weren't married.
Yeah. Although, you could think that that was her son. She might not have been so invested in their moral compass.
No, she might not have been, but that wasn't what was in my head. No. I think what was in my head was she wouldn't let Michael and Catherine... There were too many Catherines.
Oh, God.
Catherines coming out of the walls. But it was Catherine Parkinson. She wouldn't let them share a room or a bed.
Uh-huh.
And on religious grounds.
Yes.
We had been brought up in a religious environment. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, we did go to Mass every Sunday. We did, you know, and even then I was still, had smatterings of it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I get it. So you are going to go down the line of telling a massive lie, buying a cheap ring, and also lying to your bestest friend.
Yeah.
I see how that works.
It all went, it was very, very difficult. Then, of course, I had to tell her that they weren't married. So Dee was never very happy with me over that. I think it occasionally gets brought up, even now. And plus I hurt her when I kicked her.
Well, of course.
Very, very sharp.
I bet.
Yeah. Anyway, we left Mum alone, we went down on the beach, but we were quite bored.
Oh dear.
So we came home, which was a bad thing then, because Mum made me cut the hedge, which actually turned out to be quite good fun.
Okay, good.
We were all a bit tired.
You poor things.
So it was, because I wish I knew what we'd done the night before.
I think you...
But we had been out. We would have been out, definitely.
Totes.
And had no money, so we could do very little. About five... I walked with Rory to the station. So what I don't understand here is where Catherine has gone.
Where's she gone?
Because I'm not referring to her. So somewhere in this blank, we lost Kath. Anyway, I walked with Rory to the station. We stopped and had a look in the Brighton Museum. Well, to be honest, it hasn't changed. I mean, I know the foyer's changed, the way, but that central room when you walk in with the Dali lips and the Duncan Grant paintings and the...
I know.
You know, it's still very much the same.
Definitely.
And the layout and the same objet d'art.
What I miss is the ghoulish bit, you know, the Victoriana of fairground attraction, baby in a bottle, monkey in a hat.
Oh, yes.
Do you know all those sorts of weird stuff they had?
Yes, they were really great, weren't they?
Gruesome.
Have they gone now completely? They're not just in another little... Aren't they in the Brighton bit of it?
No, because I walked through there very, very recently and those things aren't there. Yeah, there was some really hideous stuff, wasn't it? Head grafted on an ant.
Sounds like the Smees. Oh, it was great. I mean, I loved it. I mean, I do go, but it's generally when there's an exhibition that I want to see. What a shame. Let's write. Let's
do that.
Let's bring back the monkey. Where is it? Can we buy it?
Where's the baby monkey? Monkey baby.
The head grafted onto an ant. I want it on my shelf of shame. I want it for my shelf of shame. Rory was impressed.
Ah.
When I got home, I was so tired.
Oh.
I had a doze till dinner, which was quite nice. Then I obviously had dinner. Don't know what else happened with the evening, but I changed for bed. I changed for bed.
Okay.
I'm assuming I'm talking about my clothes and not my persona. I don't think I became anything else. It's bedtime. And I turned into a wolf. I changed for bed and I caught sight of the gross flab of my stomach.
Oh dear.
I weighed myself.
Uh-oh.
13 stone. I was horrified! ! Diet! ! More exercise! Only one exclamation mark.
Yeah,
more exercise.
We'll think about
obviously
that.
Not quite as... Though, I'd note, I shall go swimming more often. And this is very interesting. But 70p is a lot of money. It was 70p to go swimming. 70p was a lot of money 40 years ago.
Yeah, you're right, actually. 70p, that is a lot of money. How do they expect people to be fit and not weigh 13 stone?
But it is interesting because when I look back, it says, when you know, I said we went to the New Brighton Baths. Mm. I must go more often, though. Expensive, though. 70p! So it's everywhere. 70 pence to go. Sorry. I could probably get back to Brighton for 70p.
Totally. To see, so you're laying out your stall there and you will be dieting and exercising in places that don't charge 70p.
I think what I may have done was take to cycling along the seafront to Seaford, along the, you know, the Undercliff Pass.
Yeah. I tell you what you could have done. You could have been dancing to the charts. What's in the music scene right now?
Oh, what's in the music scene? That's true. I might have been dancing the night before because we might have gone to a club. But what was in the charts? What could you have danced to? Could you have danced to Being With You, Smokey Robinson? No, I don't think you could have. Could you have danced to One Day In Your Life, Michael Jackson?
Oh, no.
They're a bit slow-mo-y, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've got nobody to smooch with.
No, you're not so shedding pounds here. Go on.
Going Back to My Roots, Odyssey.
Do a little bit of jigging about.
But again, another bit of a grim one. All Stood Still, Ultravox. Wouldn't have been dancing.
That's what you've been doing too much of.
Yeah. I've stood too still. I've added stones. I want to be free. Toya. That was quite danceable. And of course, you wouldn't be dancing to this. Chariots of Fire, Vangelis. If anything, that was really slow, wasn't it? The slow motion running.
There's one up from Standing Still.
Yeah, nothing to dance to. All Those Years Ago, George Harrison, that's not exactly upbeat.
No.
Ghost Town, the Specials, that was...
That's plompity plomp.
It's not Donna Summer.
No.
It's not Donna Summer or Diana Ross. Now, this is very interesting. I was quite astounded that there was a song with this title out then.
Right.
Too Drunk to Fuck, The Dead Kennedys.
Wow.
A, what a name for a band.
Absolutely.
And then a title in the charts, Too Drunk to Fuck.
That can't have been on the radio. Shocking.
No, I doubt they would have put it on the radio.
No.
I guess, again, another number you couldn't have danced to. There's a guy who works down the chip shop, swears he's Elvis. Very lovely and highly missed. Kirsty MacColl.
Well, no, you've got no chance there. You're not shifting any pounds on that lot.
No, I'm not.
All right, you're going to have to get that 70p out.
I'm going to have to find somewhere.
You can do that in Brighton.
Red bar.
There's a guy who works down the chip shop, swears he's Elvis. Just like he swore to me that you'd be true.
So the funny thing about it is, though, is you look at the titles of these songs and they're all very much related to the past, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You know, or to the exercise we are now currently involved in, which is one day in your life, going back to my roots all those years ago. Oh. Ghost town. Too sober to fuck.
Too old to fuck.
Too old. Yeah, maybe. And you know what? There is a guy down the chip shop swears he's Elvis. Anyway, it was too much money, and that was there in my mind. I watched a film called The Disappearance.
Uh-huh.
And my note is brilliant.
Good.
And I think it's a film with Donald Sutherland. Mm. I think it must be a thriller. But I clearly I loved it.
So when you say you've changed for bed, this means you're watching TV downstairs in your jammies.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have any upstairs TV. No. Well, that said, I think my dad had one many years before, a portable television, which was black and white. Ooh. And it used to be in our dining room. And so if anything was on the television that I wanted to watch, or one of us wanted to watch, and it wasn't viewing for the family, he had to go in there and watch it. And in fact, my very first viewing of Death in Venice was on the black and white TV.
In the dining room?
In the dining room, okay. Because my parents weren't interested in watching Visconti.
You had to suffer. You had to sit at the dining room table.
So yeah, and I mean, I liked the film. It was lovely when I finally did see it in colour. Made it all worth it. But it is beautiful. So I think we still had that, and that may have been in my bedroom at certain times.
Yeah.
But no, I think I would have been downstairs. And often everyone had gone to bed and I'd just sit and watch a film on my own.
Are we done with your day?
My day is done. I'd seen a great film and I was sated.
Okay. And so we come to the end of this episode of Quirk. A day in the year of a nobody. Thanks for listening, and join me next week when Nicholas takes us on another rummage through his past.